Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. As most are aware, I'll be taking a reprieve here. I'm in for triple bypass open heart surgery tomorrow, and I expect to be in the ICU overnight and then in the hospital for several days before I come home. I emphasized to my surgeon how important it was for me to get back on the internet. Now, fortunately, that's not a physically strenuous activity. It doesn't require any heavy lifting, only intellectual engagement. So I'm mildly optimistic that I'll be back in the saddle here in a week or so. Mitchell, I'm very pleased to say, will be filling in my stead. He does a wonderful job. Meanwhile, today I'm very pleased to have as my final guest pre-surgery, Jack Mullen, who's a very realistic, down-to-earth, nitty-gritty kind of guy who doesn't miss a trick. And I want to begin by asking Jack for his take on reports we have that heavy military activity is taking place now in a minimum of 27 states. We got tanks, we got stealth bomber flyovers, we got Osprey choppers, we got internet outages, even including, in some cases, landlines and TV. Jack, what are we to make of all this? Is it complete nonsense? Is it a provocation? Do they want to see how the American people are going to respond? Your thoughts.
Well, Jim, I'm unfortunately speaking through my phone on a speaker, so if it doesn't sound that good, I apologize. But I, first of all, thank you for having me on, and we'll talk a little later about your schedule for getting back on the air and all the things that might be related to that surgery. And but anyway, you just asked me a question about what is the real nature of what's happening in Europe. Was that what it was as I was messing around with my headset?
No. I'm talking about in 27 states minimally, we have reports of tanks in the street. We have stealth bomber flyovers. We have Osprey choppers. We've got internet outages, 51% total outages in 11 states, landline internet in 31%, TV out in 18. I'm asking, What do you think's going on here? Are these provocations to see how the people are going to respond? I find it very, very peculiar.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more than that. It's deliberate, and at least part of it is. Now, let's not forget the fact that they've been working pretty hard on what you might call our infrastructure, our food supply, and that includes foods that have been created for consumption that aren't fit for consumption. All of these things factor into human behavior and how well they perform. The next thing we have massive unemployment everywhere, regardless of what mainstream media tries to tell us. And a lot of people that no longer can even hardly pay attention.
Well, we got Jack cut off. I'm certainly hoping he's going to return momentarily. Let me just add, we got a peculiar development where Fox is apologizing for running a Chiron, a running head, suggesting that Joe Biden is a wannabe dictator. It ran. Wannabe dictator speaks at the White House after having his political rival arrested. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. I find it very, very peculiar that Fox wants to apologize for that. Trump, of course, rightfully claimed that Biden is using the Department of Justice to go after his political adversaries. It's clear to anyone paying attention that Biden admin is on a mission to silence anyone who dares to speak out against their radical socialist agenda. This incident only shows how biased the mainstream media has truly become. While Fox allows free speech and honest reporting, other networks like CNN and MSNBC censor content that doesn't fit their liberal narrative. Of course, they don't have the courage to air Trump's remarks live and uninterrupted. Jack, when you were cut, I simply explained how Fox has absurdly apologized for running head, describing wannabe dictator speaking at the White House after having arrested his political rival. Your thoughts?
About that particular subject, I really don't have any thoughts, but I have thoughts of continuing on what we were talking about before, you know, the situation in the United States right now.
Yes.
I believe, you know, that we're just seeing a multifaceted failure, and we're being prepped for disappointment and a hypercharged level of fear, which keeps people continuously unable to think critically or even think at all, being in a fight or flight situation. So we have troops on the ground. We have the internet out here and there. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago, Jim. It's basically a way to.
Wow. Jack got bounced again. Fascinating. Fascinating. I'm quite sure this is involuntary. Meanwhile, we have further signs of dementia when this guy, who may actually just be an actor wearing a Biden face mask, but it's odd, very odd, because he seems to be suffering from similar forms of dementia, where he abruptly ended a Connecticut speech with "God save the Queen," sparking remarks that the guy is truly incapacitated. Jack, welcome back. We're having a surprising amount of trouble staying connected today. Go.
Well, I'd like to, if this happens again, just call back using Skype, because regardless of how well my signal seems to be on this cell phone, it's in the next few minutes gone. So I could drop out at any period.
I'll have Mitchell call you. I'll have him call you now, Jack. Let's make the transition, and we'll get you going via Skype. Mitchell?
Have Mitchell send me a phone number to call.
I actually sent that, Jack. It's 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452.
Yeah, hang on a second. I will give that a shot.
Do it. Meanwhile, I can continue reporting on this bizarre incident involving Biden.
Right.
Because He caused confusion with a bizarre closing remarks at a Connecticut summit on gun control. What else? And in Connecticut. President Biden caused an uproar Friday after closing remarks with a phrase more clearly identified with a country that his previously declared independence from, of course, the UK. As he closed his speech at the National Safer Communities Summit in West Hartford, Biden told the crowd a storm might be approaching and that he would be unable to shake hands with all of the attendees, but uttered another iconic line, once used toward a student who questioned him about his fourth place standing in the 2020 Iowa caucuses. Is that the truth now? Do not make a lie. As that scene in the John Wayne movie, don't make me a dog-faced lying pony soldier, Biden said this time about the reported incoming storm. I will stand in front of each section. No, I really mean it. If you can see the cameras, they can see you. It is the least consequential part of this whole meeting for you, I promise. Then, to the confusion of observers, he concluded, all right, God save the Queen, man, before looking around to figure out when to walk or where to get off stage. I mean, stunning stuff. And of course, that's absurd on multiple grounds. I mean, we do not have a Queen of England. We have a king, Charles III, who was inaugurated here not so very long ago. Queen Elizabeth died back in September, so it's pretty bizarre. Jack, do we have you on Skype or no?
Not yet, but we're getting there.
Go ahead and talk. I mean, maybe we can make it to the break and then we can affect the transition.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. Anyway, so in the midst of talking about all this stuff, I'm just basically going to wrap it up and say that, you know, the United States is in the planned stages of a created decline, and all of the factors are coming together. There are a lot of individual events happening in history right now that could give Americans a little bit of hope and a chance to win this battle. And it's those ideas.
Given the interruption again, I'm asking Mitchell to call Jack now to see if we can get us together. Those watching online, by the way, heard the final utterance of President Biden at the gun summit, the God Save the Queen man. Several of you asked me why he might have said that. I have no idea. A Bull reporter signed Friday, Todd Gilman. Other poolers likewise have no idea. Outside the press pool, the reaction of Biden's closing utterance was met with equal scrutiny, proffering questions about his widely discussed cognitive acuity, meaning his incompetence. I have seen countless, and I mean countless, drunk people say something totally obscure like God save the Queen, and then jaunt around like Joe Biden just did in an effort to play it off as if they were sober. He's truly incapacitated, tweeted political strategist Evan Berryhill. Chad Gilmartin, deputy spokesman for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, reacted by keying into something Biden often tells critics who question his abilities. Watch me, Joe Biden, Gilmartin tweeted. Seriously, how much longer can this keep going? Added OutKick founder Clay Travis. Some observers wondered Friday if the process to invoke
Please leave your message for 304.
Remove the president should be initiated, given his latest gaffes. Will anyone invoke the 25th Amendment? Daily Signal investigative columnist Roman Jankowski tweeted. Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas responded to Biden's comment simply with an image of former President Washington rolling his eyes. Joe Biden has lost it, added Fox News contributor Leo Terrell. During a White House report from correspondent Mark Meredith, Fox News host Neil Cavuto wondered aloud on Your World why Biden would say such a thing during a speech. Was it in response to something? Yes. we're still trying to figure out, replied Meredith. Nobody's really sure. Were they playing a body python skin or something? Cavuto responded. Maybe that's where Joe Biden belongs, in a Monty Python skit. I mean, it's just absurd. Mitchell, have we any success in getting Jack back? Wow. Let's see what else we can do. Meanwhile, of course, we have Ukraine sustaining the greatest single-day losses yet, over 1,000 soldiers and 20 tanks in a single day, according to the Russian Ministry of Defense, which has been highly accurate. Unlike Western sources, the Russians are giving us a realistic, honest accounting of what's taking place.
Please leave your message for...
have sustained heavy casualties across the front line during the last 24 hours. Let me see again if I can give Jack the number. 540-352-4452, same number for call-in. I'll get it to Jack. See, I think he called that number, but perhaps not on Skype. So the situation here with regard to the military is that Ukraine is going down hard. Russia is prevailing. They're taking out the military hardware the West sends virtually as soon as it arrives. It's just outrageous what's taking place. There'll be no room for any doubt as to what's taking place here. I've heard now about a research report at Goldman Sachs introduced the concepts of BRICS, but it was BRIC. It wasn't including also South Africa, BRICS, but it was Goldman Sachs that introduced the concept. Between 2000 and 2009, the pace of growth of emerging economies outpaced that of developed countries for the first time. A 2001 Goldman Sachs economic research report focused on four rapidly growing emerging market economies as key drivers of future economic growth: Brazil, Russia, India, and China. With building better global economic BRICS, a new term entered the investing vernacular, but the S was lowercase rather than uppercase for South Africa, which became the finale here. Jack, have we got you back, my friend?
I'm back, still using the telephone. When I try to make the Skype call, it told me that I'm not allowed to call that number with my account. But I just, you know, I've got an account that I pay regular money for, so I don't.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, I hate to start that last conversation over because it keeps getting me hung up on. So talking about the BRICS nations, talking about central banks, that was going to be the primary focus of my discussion with you today, that the events that are coming up that are, you know, all coming at the same time. we have these war games that conclude, I guess, on the 23rd in Europe. We have a war with Ukraine and the United States and NATO secretly behind them, and with Russia. And at the same time, we have the United States currency under pressure and being deliberately destroyed. And in the meantime, we hear a lot about central banks and their digital currency. So
there we go again. And Jack's been cut off once more. And I'm quite certain this is involuntary. Other BRICS-oriented research would follow from Goldman Sachs in the ensuing years, including 2003's paper, Dreaming with BRICS, a Path to 2050, which posited that the BRICS countries could overtake the larger Western economies by the year 2039. The BRIC moniker was adopted broadly in financial and economic circles as the original paper's projection were borne out. India's economy grew at an average pace of 6.89% per year from 2000 to 2009. China soared at a yearly average of 10.35% by the middle of the decade. Numerous BRICS themed mutual funds, ETFs, and indexes were created to track this distinct group of emerging economies. Jack, pick up from there. Go.
Right. Well, that's a good introduction. Anyway, the BRICS are part of this system that's being used to destroy the U.S. dollar. I don't think, you know, the U.S. dollar itself is a very successful fiat currency, if you will, because it's lasted so long. Having been tied to oil was an ingenious idea that our controllers came up with. And I think the world is pretty much like the average American, pretty tired of changing something all the time. And so had they been able to manage this currency indefinitely through spending cuts, for example, and maintaining realistic interest rates, not doing so much debt every single day, we might have been gotten another 20, 30, who knows how long out of this because of the fantastic ability of this currency's inflation to be absorbed around the world. But that's not going to happen because that's not what they want to happen. And I guess they printed their.
Why am I not surprised? So the first annual BRICS summit took place in 2009 in Russia, bringing together leaders of the BRIC countries to discuss policy issues and common challenges. The following year, the group voted to invite South Africa to join, cementing the acronym BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. In 2014, the BRICS Development Bank was established in an agreement signed during the sixth annual BRICS summit in Brazil. Since renamed New Development Bank, NDB,
please
and
leave your message
Shanghai,
for 3042.
The institution's goal is to mobilize resources for infrastructure and sustainable development projects in BRICS and other emerging market and developing countries. By shining a research spotlight on a select group of emerging economies poised to become the next global growth powerhouses, Goldman Sachs helped both investors and companies frame their thinking and decisions based on a shifting global dynamic power structure. Beyond that, the BRICS concept triggered cooperation and collaboration among policy members in these diverse countries on issues ranging from agriculture, trade, and environmental policy to national security and international finance. We'll pick it up with Jack when we get him back. Have we got him back, Jack? Meanwhile, Hunter Biden to plead guilty on a deal, two tax counts, one gun charge. Hunter Biden, 53, son of President Joe, has agreed to plead guilty to two federal tax violation charges and one violation of gun laws per reports out Tuesday morning. Here's Alex Thompson. Breaking. Hunter Biden is being charged with a gun felony and two tax misdemeanors. He's pleading guilty to the tax offenses and entering into a pretrial diversion agreement on illegally possessing a gun while addicted to a controlled substance.
Please leave
your
message.
We have a letter from Mr. Keith Kincaid, U.S. District Court Clerk's Office, U.S. District Court, 844 King Street, Wilmington, Delaware, regarding Robert Hunter Biden. Dear Mr. Kincaid, enclosed, please find two information to be docketed in criminal matters involving the above-referenced defendant. The first information charges the defendant with tax offenses, namely two counts of willful failure to pay federal income tax in violation of 26 U.S. Code 7203. The defendant agreed to plead guilty to both counts of the tax information. The second charges the defendant with a firearms offense, namely one count of possession of a firearm by a person who is an unlawful user of or addicted to a controlled substance in violation of U.S. 18 U.S. Code 922 and 924. The defendant has agreed to enter a pretrial diversion agreement with respect to the firearms information. The defendant is represented by Christopher J. Clark. The parties jointly request that the court schedule a consolidated initial appearance on the firearm information and an initial appearance and change of plea hearing on the tax information charges. Originally, executed copies of a memorandum of plea agreement related to the tax information and the pretrial diversion agreement related to the firearm information will be submitted at or in advance of the hearing, signed David C. Weiss, United States Attorney. So he's going to plead guilty to willful failure to pay federal income taxes, most likely on his foreign earnings, and will enter a pretrial diversion program regarding his gun crime, indicating he'll face no jail time. Biden's dubious business exploits came to light during the Obama administration after he was discharged from the Navy for drug use and immediately found employment on the board of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. Reporters briefly questioned the White House about Hunter's role, given his father, then Vice President Joe, had been placed in charge of Ukrainian policy under President Obama. State Department officials complained about the conflict of interest, but were told the vice president was grieving for his other son, Beau Biden, and others shifting to make him out to be a victim were supposed to be sympathy and pity, not a scourge for conducting a legal operation in collaboration with his son, where we know as the big guy he was getting his customary 10%. President Trump raised the question of Hunter's role with the then newly installed president of Ukraine, Zelensky, in 2019, an overture for which the White House impeached House Democrats impeached the president. It was ridiculous. Trump's concerns were vindicated by the discovery and publication in 2020 of a laptop apparently belonging to Hunter, which contained emails and other records documenting his business interests. But Silicon Valley social media and the mainstream media suppressed and censored the story, for intelligence officials created a false impression it was Russian propaganda. Back after the break, hopefully with Jack in place.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, fairly astonishing, but we don't even have Jack yet. We're working on it. Meanwhile, after the election, Hunter admitted he had been under investigation for tax violation, but the Bidens continue to deny any claims of corruption. Of course, what else can they do? Craig has also pointed out that Hunter had lied on a federal gun purchase form when lying about his addiction to drugs. The topic surfaced periodically as Biden vowed to take executive action on guns. Right, he cares about guns, except in the case of his own son. A plea deal will likely involve Hunter admitting to misdemeanor charges that will keep him from jail and will avoid a trial. Biden, of course, could pardon his son at any time, avoiding any criminal consequences. So as I understand the pardon process, you got to have been found guilty and then admit to your crime when it's properly done, though nothing is done in accordance with the law or the Constitution in America today. News of the plea deal emerged less than 2 weeks after the DOJ indicted former President Trump on felony charges with lengthy prison terms relating to his handling of presidential documents. And, of course, as we've explained, there is no substance to this, these allegations against Trump whatsoever. They were based on the Foreign Intelligence Act, which isn't even the relevant statute. It's the Presidential Records Act, which was enacted in 1978. Prior to 1978, it turns out all documents of administration were regarded to be the then president's property, all of them. After 1978, there were prescribed procedures. Trump appears to have followed them. And where there had been, you know, room for negotiation between the National Archives and the president, the former president, of documents that might be disputed. But it's not even a criminal statute. Not even a criminal statute. So we got a problem with Jack, that the number that Mitchell's been calling is not working. Hopefully we're going to hear from him. Meanwhile, Speaker McCarthy, plea deal means DOJ can no longer withhold information on Hunter Biden. This is significant. House Speaker McCarthy said, Jack, join the ranks. Talk about absurdities, right? And I do believe there are those who would just as soon you not be on the air here, but go for it, Jack. Pick it up anywhere you like.
I can tell you for certain, I've never had so many things interfere with me trying to get on here in a better way. I've just never seen anything like it. Between passwords, I've tried multiple credit cards with Skype. It's just an unbelievable thing. And now we got a bad phone line. So I'm sorry about that.
I can hear you pretty well right now, Jack. I think everyone can. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about this kind of phone situation. It comes and goes with the trees blowing. But anyway, I don't know what you've covered since we talked last. I was talking about central banks or digital currencies and this massive prison that you're building for all of us.
Yeah, I was turning to the Hunter Biden charges thereafter after talking about BRICS and how Goldman Sachs actually conceptually had something to do with the formation of BRICS, introduced the acronym BRIC. And then after South Africa joined, it became BRICS. what were Goldman Sachs? It was extolling the virtues of these emerging economies and how they could soon even overtake the West. And of course, all that is coming to pass. When we were having the problems with the phone connection, I spoke about the Hunter plea deal and all that, where he seemed to be avoiding jail time. But honestly, so far as I can tell, none of these have to do with the more recent bribery charges, which are more serious than the gun charges. You pick up anywhere you like, Jack. I'm just glad to have you back.
Well, you know, I don't pay too much attention to Biden or anything that goes on with the two-party paradigm. I did see, where it was believed that both Hunter and Joe got themselves about $5 million. And, of course, I have no problem believing that at all. I see where Hunter might be getting away from going to jail with his gun charges, which I don't find surprising at all. But actually, both of those two people are not in my mind by any stretch.
And there he got bounced again. Let me continue talking about Hunter while I have a few minutes here. A statement from U.S. Attorney in Delaware David Weiss said the federal investigation into Hunter Biden is still ongoing. A source told Politico, the plea agreement is intended to be a comprehensive resolution of Hunter's potential legal liability in all matters investigated by federal authorities. But how can that be the case? It doesn't even include anything related to the bribery charges. According to Politico, and we know this is a left-wing outfit, those matters include allegations Republicans have leveled in recent years.
Please leave your message.
Business dealings and well-compensated posts on the board of Ukrainian energy company Burisma now into corruption or violating the Foreign Agent Registration Act. This is the end of it, the person involved said, speaking on condition of anonymity to discuss a private legal dealings. How can it be the end of it? Vice office confirmed some details of the agreement in a press release that added without elaborating. The investigation is ongoing. It was not immediately clear what parts of the inquiry are continuing. But prosecutors could look at potential crimes or civil liability on the part of others who have come under scrutiny in the probe. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer pledged the committee will continue its investigations into the Bidens.
Please leave your message for
in its own statement Tuesday. How can you have a plea deal that covers issues that weren't even on the table? I mean, that's simply absurd. This is how bad it's become with the state of law in America. It's all bullshit. It's all a shell game. It's all bait and switch. It's all lies, lies, lies. Meanwhile, here we have another report that the Biden deal excludes the alleged Biden $10 million bribery scheme, and it seems to me that has to be the case. Check out what Marjorie Taylor Greene, hopefully you'll be able to hear this, has to say. Marjorie's so good.
Investigating Biden family crimes over and over and over again, and we have all the bank records where we have direct evidence of tens of millions of dollars coming in from all these foreign countries directly into Shell LLCs and the Biden family members, Hunter Biden especially, getting paid millions and millions of dollars, and they want to bring stupid charges of misdemeanors for taxes and a gun charge. I think it's ridiculous.
So two follow-ups. One is just, do you think that the Oversight Committee is going to be pursuing investigation beyond this now that this case is not an ongoing investigation? I wonder maybe the DOJ, there's some information Oversight can subpoena.
I think something to think about, and I plan on talking to Chairman Comer about it, is that now that Hunter Biden can't play the best. So I think
please leave your message.
And we need to have a little chat.
And just lastly, I've heard a number of Republicans talk about a two-tier justice system. This U.S. Attorney in Delaware, who was prosecuting Hunter Biden, was a Trump appointee. How can you look at somebody who President Trump put in place and say that person is not creating?
I'll put it to you like this, because this is what the American
I'm on the oversight committee. We said now that this has happened, Hunter Biden can't play the Fed. So I think we need to subpoena him in front of the oversight committee, and we need to have a little chat with Hunter Biden.
And just lastly, I've heard a number of Republicans talk about a two-tiered justice system. This U.S. attorney in Delaware who was prosecuting Hunter Biden was a Trump appointee. How can you look at somebody who President Trump put in place and say that person is not free?
I'll put it to you like this, because this is what the American people know. It might not make a lot of sense in Washington, because nothing makes sense in Washington. Bill Barr was also the Attorney General for the United States. Direct evidence and the proof about the $5 million bribe that went to Joe Biden as vice president. So I don't care if they're Trump appointed. I don't care if they were part of his former administration. Those people that have known about these Biden crimes and sold our country out, they should be held accountable too. So I don't give a crap about the attorney. I don't care. It doesn't matter if they're Trump appointed. That's not the issue. The issue is we should be holding people accountable for their real crimes. Not playing like, oh, look at Hunter Biden going along and getting along with the DOJ because he was a horrible drug addict back then when he made his little throwaway gun in a trash can and his tax crimes. He has a lot bigger problems with those tax crimes.
Well, we got Jack back, at least temporarily. I was playing Jack Marjorie Taylor Greene responding to this effort to sweep it all under the rug and pointing out that it doesn't matter whether the attorney, this guy Weiss, for example, is Trump appointed. When Biden asked for all the U.S. attorneys across the nation to resign, that's the one he left in place. I believe, therefore, he was already a covert Biden operative. Otherwise, he would not have entrusted him with a sensitive case like that of Hunter. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, it doesn't matter who appointed these people. It matters how they're performing their job. And we're seeing abject failures. And she cites the illustration of Bill Barr, who many of us thought was a decent guy, but who turns out to be a disaster. Jack, or if you're there, I see another change going on here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm on a different line now. Hopefully this one will hold up. But anyway, so I can't, like I said, speak too much to Hunter Biden or his so-called father, at least that person in the office right now, I highly doubt is his father. But I can talk about the things that Biden and the elections, Trump, DeSantis, et cetera, are about. And that is sucking the attention of the American public away from the things that are actually important, and for the American public to wake up to the idea that none of these people have any effect on our lives in the long run. They make no changes. Nothing changes from administration to administration. They are essentially now entirely puppets and for the most part, entertainment. They're ceremonial, just like, the idea of the queen being ceremonial in England, although we know that she still has power, or if she were still alive, she would. It's a situation where it's just basically background noise. And for the most part, it's designed to keep people from thinking about what's really happening. And that's, along the lines of what I was talking about before with the central bank digital currency coming online. These things are so much more important because at the point in time when they have control of our monetary units forever with no hope of privacy, no private exchanges of our own, and the ability to track it down to a thousandth of a cent, every one of your transactions, once they have that kind of control, it matters not thereafter whether we have a president or not, because we're entirely under the control of this thing that has its designs on controlling the world. And it seems to be doing a pretty good job. In fact, I don't know that there's any hope that we can even stop it, but we can make it feel uncomfortable if we could, many of us wake up at the same time. For example, right now, we've seen that people have been taking their monies out of the banks in large numbers and much larger numbers than in previous times, even back in 08. So we know that they are figuring out that money in a bank is basically something you can lose pretty quickly. And so if people would wake up right now and continue to take their money out of the banks, put stress on the banking system itself before they can implement their central bank digital currency. And these things about the way in which we can make changes in the banking system are about to change forever as well. Historically, the bank run and also spending limits have been two ways that you can control the central bank and even punish them. But as we go forward, those will be taken away, and never again will there ever be such a thing as a bank run. And I believe, you know, now in the remaining days that we have in this financial system, it's prudent for everyone to get their money out into some kind of productive asset, et cetera, while at the same time not crying over the fact that it's putting stress on the banks in the hopes that we might be able to find a way through this crack that might open up if they were to fail prematurely. And then we would have a moment of maybe somebody rising through the chaos saying, we never want central banking ever again. And central banking is a fantastic slavery system, has been historically a problem for the United States since even before 1776. And I think people need to realize now that without central banking, this world would be a far different place. And I've shown in my articles there cannot be world war if you do not have central banks to fund it. And that would also continue into the idea that you cannot have world war if you don't have central banks try to create it. And that's the thing that we've seen over the history of the central bank, is that they continually use their money to manipulate one regime against another to make it seem as though, you know, war is necessary. I now don't believe that war was ever necessary. And I believe all of this is staged by central banks for purposes of raising money then to create this new world order that we're marching steadily towards. And so there's so many things right now that are, you know, pushing towards the central banks, people like the IMF, another phony, as far as I'm concerned, self-appointed and given self-authority organization that pretends to have control over the banking systems of the world, are working on a global platform for the exchange of central bank digital currencies so that they can avoid fragmentation. And the article goes on to say, this article was out just a couple of days ago, Monday, that they want to be able to facilitate transactions between central banking digital currencies of different countries. So each nation can have their own, and they can have their interoperability. And I believe that that's basically telling us that the central bank digital currency system will be worldwide. It will not be opposed by any nation, the same way the vaccines were hardly opposed by any nation. It's the same group of people rolling this out. It's the same solution. It's just another form of prison, another form of misery and dying sooner than you normally would, because either you're miserable, can't afford to eat anymore, or you've taken a vaccine. And so I see that. I see Janet Yellen talking about the fact that de-dollarization is happening around the world right now, and that we should look forward to a time when the U.S. dollar is not as strong worldwide, is not the large part of the reserve currency. I mean, right now, the U.S. dollar is at 58% of the world's reserves. That's down from 73% in 2021. So an enormous drop in the amount of reserves that are being held around the world. And that will continue. That's the talk of the day. That's on the minds of countries like Brazil, who just in the last 24 hours or so made a call to the BRICS nations to continue to de-dollarize. And we see countries like Bangladesh paying for their Soviet, or I should say Russian-built nuclear power plant in Chinese yuan. So this is unheard of stuff, where the world carries on their own activities outside the dollar, and it's only going to get worse. So that signals to us that the U.S. dollar will go into massive decline. Janet Yellen was before Congress a few days ago talking with some Congress people who had heard from one of their think tank people that the primary way that China could punish the United States would be to sell their treasuries all at one time, say overnight in a 24-hour period. This congressional group was asking Janet Yellen to make preparations for such a thing. And she said that they had not made any any sort of preparations for that, but that the military had, or the Joint Chiefs, et cetera. And she was instructed to get on the ball and get that done. Now, that's another bit of just predictive programming. China selling any large number of treasuries at one time could just easily destabilize this system, which is already teetering on destabilization. If you watch or pay attention to the 10-year yield, watching it every day, you'll see fantastic stuff happening in that number, 20, 30 basis points on an hourly basis or a several hour basis. That's massive amounts of money going into buying bonds when they become slightly unstable and people begin to sell them. It's an enormous form of inflation, and it self-reinforces the collapse. But the collapse itself is something now that is not possible to avoid. And I believe that most people need to, as I started to say earlier, make preparations for this immediately, like yesterday. And don't wait for, you know, for everyone else to wake up. So once everyone else wakes up, then everyone knows. But until then, everyone doesn't know. And that makes things harder for you. If you're trying to buy gold and silver when everyone wakes up, the prices are going to get dramatically higher. If you're trying to buy food, water, ammo, other survival supplies while the whole place is woken up to this, then you're not going to be able to achieve anything that's suitable. So you got to do it now, and there's not many days left. I don't know if it can make it through the rest of this year, Jim, and I can't stop talking about it. I find it such a scary prospect that everyone will just hand over their free access to dollar bills and free use of dollar bills to a central authority system that will be telling them that if they do so, they won't be hungry. So people like us who have our eyes open need to be prepared to survive that period of time when they try to starve the masses into the central banks. And I think that that's the way that that'll happen.
Jack, so, I'm glad you can't stop talking about it, because it's something everyone needs to understand. And I think there's a general sense of helplessness out there in America. People just have no idea what's really going on or what they can do or should do to deal with it. So they're left in a state of profound confusion and lack of understanding, where we come in attempting to fill in the blanks and give them a grasp of what's going on. And I want you to continue to address a big picture here today, Jack, because the USA is falling apart between the open borders, the lack of criminal law enforcement, the politicalization of the DOJ and the FBI, the fake insurrection that charges against Trump, the ongoing war in Ukraine. Just where to house the migrants? Mayor Eric Adams in New York City is tearing his hair out because he's got no place where to put them. And they, you know, they've been filling the hotels, but it turns out that it comes up against zoning laws, because hotels are not homeless shelters. They're not places for temporary refuge for migrants. I believe that part of the promise of bringing all these millions into the U.S. is they're going to have homes of their own, and the homes they're going to occupy are those presently occupied by you and by me. That's my take on it, Jack. Your thoughts?
Yep, no doubt about that. And like we said earlier when I was getting interrupted continuously, you know, the troops that people are seeing around the United States, the power outages here and there, these things are going to increase because, as I've said so many times, I'm tired of saying, when there's a interruption in either the money supply to people, when there's a liquidity crisis, for example, when this debt burden that the United States has finally comes back and forces a debt crisis where the bond market just drops to the floor, interest rates go to the moon. Liquidity will become something very difficult, and the banks will not have funds to provide to people standing in line at the ATMs. And that will cause a banking outage, at least for some period of time, where credit cards won't work, et cetera. That, during that period of time, people getting hungry is going to happen. And with most people having maybe 3 days of food, I think that, you know, it won't take long that the cities will begin to empty out. People will be robbing to eat, and then even worse. And so that's why I think that, you know, we're going to start seeing military and troops moving around, because to some extent that has to be contained or at least curtailed. That's what we expect government to do. We would lose all faith completely, even the people that love the government, if they weren't able to provide some sort of protection against that sort of thing that they definitely plan to happen. And yes, it all falls under that meme of the zombies that we saw in the starting in the 90s and 2000s, et cetera. These people are very hungry, and they're in large numbers, and they're going to be coming towards your supplies. And so when government steps in, that'll be an excuse to step in. That'll be an excuse to start rounding up people because they're causing trouble being hungry, and they'll be offered food, et cetera. Just go into here. And then inside that situation, there'll be their guns, if they have any, will be taken. They'll be vaccinated. They'll be given their central bank digital currency account and fed. And probably it'll be infected with some sort of Bill Gates created vaccine for plants and animals. And so that's how they'll take those a large number of people off the streets. And then we have people that are dissident or people that speak out. Those people in this sort of melee, they will be easily identifiable and have already been so. And they could be picked up and rounded up at that time and also done away with, however that's going to be. So, you know, the story here for all of us is that we have to make provisions for our protection and for grouping together as a group that's aware and wants to maintain a life that we're kind of used to. I've said before, and I've written about it, it wouldn't take 5 years to rebuild the United States back into the powerhouse it was, say, circa 1957, 8, 9, 60. We could manufacture everything we need. In the meantime, the used market for most things will supply the necessary in-betweens while people gear up for the new manufacturing. We could get rid of central bank digital currency forever, and we get rid of central banking forever. Sure. And in doing so, we would have – yes, sir.
Okay. I want to bring you back to repeat it. We're not here in the break, but we're into it, so I want to get back there when we return. Let's take five, my friend. I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, Jack, that's a mistake, I'm convinced, because the break here ought to be several minutes long and end with those observations. Let me check with Mitchell. Are we on the air? Something wrong. Jack,
hey,
are you
Jim,
there?
Yes, we're live, my friend.
Okay, Mitchell. Okay. Something crazy going on. Today is one of those days. Jack, I want to, you know, give you an invite here. It was supposed to be an instant replay coming back from the break. I want to open the lines a little early for callers because in the past couple of weeks, I've had problems getting callers on for multiple reasons, including the Mitchell himself has been involved in other emergency circumstances where he couldn't field the calls. So I want to open the call line early, but I want you to continue to emphasize where we are and what can be done, because in my opinion, the situation is desperate. I've spoken many times now I believe that January 6th insurrection was contrived in large measure to emphasize the concept of domestic terrorists so that they can subsume under that rubric everyone they don't like politically, ideologically, whether it's Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, MAGA, Republican Trump supporters, you know, parents. I mean, they want to subsume us all as domestic terrorists. I think this is why they had the phony pipe bomb the day before, because that was supposed to be a clear-cut example of domestic terrorists. And, of course, they've been unable to track it down, no doubt because it's one of their own. But my ultimate concern is, because of all the migrants coming in, we're going to find invariably some kind of violent exchange that's going to lead to the determination, the declaration of martial law. And under martial law, like enemy combatants who are not in uniform, domestic terrorists can be subjected to summary trials and executions. And I think this is going to go on here in America on a mind-numbing scale. And that's why I'm emphasizing to everyone, if you have any doubt about how this happens, check out the film The Czechist. It was released in 1991, but it's about what happened post-Bolshevik Revolution, where a huge number of ordinary citizens were subjected to summary trials and peremptory execution. Jack, they were just lined up against a wall. They were told to disrobe, lined up against a wall, and shot. Now, I believe that is their plan for America. And it may sound extraordinary, but I'm convinced that's what's happening. Please, could you address it?
I mean,
did we lose?
No, it was on just me putting it on mute. I mean, I'm used to doing that because of doing so many webinars. Anyway, so your question was...
Are they going to use this concept of domestic terrorists to round up Trump supporters, anyone else they don't like, and shoot them? I'm convinced this is going to happen. I'm suggesting the film The Czechist shows exactly how it was done after the revolution in Russia and what I believe Biden is going to implement here in the U.S. And it boggles the mind, Jack. Most Americans cannot imagine this happening here, which, in my opinion, is one more reason they're planning to spring it on us.
Absolutely. I think they will continue to do the same things that they've done in the past. The past is always a good indicator of the future. If we look into what they did in days of World War I, especially in the aftermath of World War II, you'll see that these various crises, et cetera, are always used for quietly getting rid of people that, you know, are pains in their behind. This world right now is getting set and to, you know, play out the other rhyme of the World War II era, starting in 1917. The period of time when the so-called Russian Revolution wasn't a revolution. It was infiltration and takedown, which is exactly what we have in the United States right now. The same things that happened to the Soviet Union are being done here in the Soviet Union. When the period of time when they made the Czechists, they were killing people with guns continuously around the clock, mercilessly. They were starving them. They were dumping them off the sides of boats, all tied up in bundles of 1,000. It's just horror, putting them in camps and doing terrible things to these people before killing them. Today's rhyme of the same thing is the vaccines, for example, and people being killed around the clock, maimed around the clock, harm around the clock. And this will go on for years and years and years, if not decades. And people will always be in some way or another that have taken the vaccine harmed by it. And that's very similar to the weapon of 1921 or so, which was the shot, but it was a shot from a gun. Now we have the shot from a vaccination. And then as this continues, it will continue to erode into the same kind of situation that the Soviet Union wanted to be and was for 50 some years. It's a prison state. It's a communist economic system and ideology that maintained it. It was run by the lowest class people on earth. It was terribly brutal. Starvation was typical because the people that do this to us aren't actually human beings, in my opinion. I mean, there's something else, whether you want to call a psychopath non-human, as some people do. You know, I might come that halfway with you on that one. But people with no empathy whatsoever, people taking orders as psychopaths from somebody else who may not be human, that could be the case as well. But they don't care. And I think, you know, that for whatever reason, the USA was singled out to be the third or the next revolution after World War II. And this is happening now. And so remember a few years ago, Jim, we talked about Deagle magazine and their prediction. There was an article out yesterday that I saw somewhere that was just a headline saying that Pfizer officials admit that Deagle numbers were accurate. And of course, we were told at the time that those Deagle numbers were made up, and eventually they were taken down. But they were up a long time because I looked at them many, many times, you know, suggesting that the United States population would drop to, 99 million?
That was initially, Jack. They revised that down to like 65 million, and that was the last projected I've seen for 2025.
Yep, 2025. And so you have somebody like Pfizer's, you know, a lot of people from Pfizer have opened up their mouth and saying that those numbers are on track. And so this is the next Bolshevik revolution, and it's done by Bolsheviks. There's just no other way to look at it. It's an old word. Maybe some people are tired of hearing it. I don't know. It defines exactly what's happening. And I don't know that the American people are not now so drugged, so dumbed down, so fluoridated that they can even muster the necessary anger to get angry that they're going to be treated this way. I think most of them just want to be left alone. They love the idea of universal basic income. And it keeps everybody, you know, from having to even bother with the idea of work. I think they've saddled us with that. So for those of us who would rather see a different way of life, I think we need some sort of, a group leader, somebody that's getting some attention somewhere, talking about, you know, how we might reorganize, how we might show up somewhere else. Maybe we show up in some state that's particularly friendly to this kind of thinking and, make a stand, because there's not much time left. People starving, they won't make a stand. They'll be busy doing whatever they got to do to feed themselves.
Yeah, my opinion has been that the indictments against Trump, which are absolutely legally baseless, totally sham, have three objectives. One, of course, is to distract from the bribery stuff about Biden. The second is to try to get him out of the race for 2024, if it were possible, which in my opinion, it is not. But in the third place, and this may be of greatest importance, to tie him up with legal issues so he can't focus on the border crisis and the slaughter that's about to befall us. Because in my judgment, he's the one guy who's got the national standard to lead America in a resistance to this domestic tyranny taking place and what's going to be, I think, a mass slaughter of innocent Americans. I've mentioned that I want to take callers. I hadn't given the number, but we do have a couple of callers standing by. The number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. First caller from area code 347. Caller, give us your first name, state, and join the conversation.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Bruce in Texas.
Bruce, go right ahead, Bruce. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right, and good to hear you. Sounds like you're doing well. Your guest, Jack, I want to remind him that that's exactly the solution that he gave for the coming financial collapse is what Russia is doing at the present time. And as a matter of fact, I saw an article maybe in 2020 or so, and Russia had paid off their IMF debt completely. And now with all the sanctions, they're turning inward and making factories and actually recovering their economy, you know, it kind of like forced them to do that. So perhaps if we have the same issues here, we could do that. But you need to have the people that are capable of doing hard work and are creative, you know, the engineering types. And that demographic or that percentage is being basically marginalized and run off, you know. I want to read something here. This is from Catch-Up Feed. You all familiar with that submersible that went down there to the Titanic? I'm sure you all heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know how much airtime they have left, but yeah, it's getting a lot of publicity. Go ahead.
Yeah, the CEO of OceanGate, which is operating the missing Titanic tourist submarine, explains that the company didn't want to hire any experienced 50-year-old white guys because they weren't inspirational. So if we're going to rebuild our country, you know, as societies, we need to get rid of that mindset. It's a poison. I think it's been intentionally put in here to continually hold us down. You know, math is racist now. Being on time is racist. Anything you can imagine that's actually of high quality in a society now is racist. The colleges and universities, they're not making, people to build things up. They're making robotrons, you know. And I'll let y'all comment on that if you want.
Jack.
Yep. Well, I agree with you at the front of that. Another thing about Russia is the stuff that we hear about it may or may not be true. It's difficult to decide whether information that is presented by a government is ever true or by government-approved sources. But if we go by the things that we've read, we can see that the Russia right now is in a far better shape to survive this situation than we are here in the United States. In fact, it's highly likely that Russia's support.
There we go. Another interruption. Listen, we've also got Brian on the line. Brian, go ahead and join in. Your thoughts.
I was reading about Kabbalists, cabal, that stuff. And boy, does that ever fit in with your movie, The Czechist. I mean, you just can't believe how much they hate us. Are you there? Jim, I don't know if you're hearing me.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Anyway, I went to the Henry Macau website and I looked up the Chabad. And there was one article that showed up, why is Russia following the globalist green agenda? And I punched on it, and there was videos of all these rabbis, these that are into cabal, whatever they call it. Anyway, they had their videos, and they just talked about how they had to kill all the white people, that there was no redemption for them unless all the white people were killed. And they even talked about the fact that Hitler was a lifetime of Christ, which kind of shocked me because that's something I got. But then you get the lies because they said, oh, he was working for us, which he wasn't. But it just goes on and on that they get up every morning and thank their God, Yahweh, who's evil, that they aren't women and they're not goyim, and that they have to kill all the goyim. And it went on about Kamala Harris, how she does something, what was the name of that? I wrote it down, Tikkun Olam, and that's to destroy the Gentiles. It was just unbelievable. Your friend, the king that does that show, he would get more videos out of that because it's videos of this guy on Facebook talking about all this stuff, and it just makes your jaw drop.
But Gary King, you mean, and we do this Inconvenient Truth show once a week. Jack, we're glad to have you back. Go ahead. Brian was talking about the extreme Jewish movement to annihilate all the whites and how open they're being about it.
Yeah, they're much more open now. And at the same time, they'll laugh at you when you tell them that replacement theory is actually quite evident. And you know, they'll call it some sort of canard or conspiracy theory. Chabad Lubavitch is who he was talking about. And that's a controlling factor in Russian Orthodox.
Wow. Some subjects are going to be so taboo, we're going to have a trouble getting through them. Please continue, either of you, with further thoughts. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, Brian, yeah, you're spot on there. And when they nominated Merrick Garland to Attorney General, I knew this was coming down the pike. That guy, you're familiar with his role in the Oklahoma City bombing prosecution of Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols?
Yeah.
He's instrumental in that. And Joe Biden put out, he brags about it, that he authored the very first Patriot Act, which came out like a week or two after the Oklahoma City bombing. So that meant that it was pre-written and ready to go. And the Oklahoma City bombing suspects allegedly hatched their plot at Elohim City, which is a white supremacist compound that was actually mostly SPOC, FBI, all the alphabets, all the usual suspects were running that thing. There are very, very few actual people who were roped into it. And that was all a setup. I mean, we even had a German intel agent by the name of Andreas Strassmeier, who was a Nazi and a gunsmith, and he was planted in the compound. So you have that history. Okay, then we have the history of 9/11, and so what they're doing is they're recreating the Soviet Union and the United States. They're framing their enemies, and they're using the justice system to prosecute and eliminate the threats to their rule. That's how I see it. And this guy, could take Merrick Garland and put him in a brown uniform with a little hat and a Russian pistol, he would fit right in. He would be an NKVD officer. You know, that's the vibe I got from the guy for the first time I heard about him.
Yeah, well, Jack's back. Go ahead, Jack.
I hope I can stay here for a while. It's a pretty frustrating day.
Nice.
These conversations can easily degenerate into who is behind this problem. I mean, certainly Judaism as an idea has been used to collect the minds of a certain kind of people. And from that, those people are willing to do whatever is necessary in order for them to realize their final goal of controlling the world, and their Esau and Jacob story coming to life. And I say story because all of these things are made up stories. Required, I guess, to keep the people in line. But the bottom line is that nothing's ever done about it. We don't have any way now to address the fact that we have 48, you know, people in the Biden administration that are dual citizen Israelis. I mean, that should be just a no-brainer that's not something you would allow. The founding fathers had some language in the U.S. Constitution about it having to have been born in the United States to be a president. And so we know that, they would have never gone with the idea that you would have someone possibly born somewhere else and at the same time having two citizenships, two passports to be in charge of the United States. I mean, Thomas Jefferson made the comment that just central banks alone were so dangerous in that their control through their many branches was like a phalanx that was able to turn on the American people whenever they felt like doing so, even so far as to dictate the terms of peace should we get into war. And so these people understood that if you're going to run your own country, you're going to have it filled with your own people. And today the Jewish establishment, the ADL, the hundreds, actually there are dozens and dozens. We see that there's groups called like the Jewish Family Services group, which you can't find directly as a organization, but you can find them by just looking them up and seeing that they're busy in all the states. They're they've been working for years and years and years to bring immigrants in around the clock, and providing them with the comforts of home and $3,000 worth of food stamps a month. All of these things are coming right out of the American taxpayers. Mostly it's coming out of the U.S. dollar, in the sense that the dollar is inflated and that money is used to pay for these things, that the value is the currency, so each and every one of us can buy less with every dollar we have. And so this is a travesty that we can't bring this out. We can't ask questions about this group whose very religion is about subjugating and then eliminating the very population in which we, you know, find ourselves being part of. And I don't know what we can do about this now. I mean, every single day we hear about new rules for controlling anti-Semitism. That's obviously what I'm doing right now in terms of speaking about Jews in general. That would be considered anti-Semitic. You know, we can talk about any other group on the planet. We're allowed to have actual critical conversations about things that happen around the world being done by different peoples, and nobody gets upset at all. We can criticize Catholicism. We can criticize any kind of Christianity, but we're not allowed ever in even a television show to make fun of Yahweh and Judaism. And I just think, you know, it's a shame. And it's a shame that Christians bought into the fact that their God is the same God as the Jewry's, and that, in fact, they're just a created religion as a controlled opposition, in my opinion, to support Jewry in the long run. But, you know, it doesn't have to be Jews at the very top. This political system, this weaponized political system, is useful no matter who controls it. And we all know that you can get people that are duped into almost any idea, and especially when it's, you know, gives them a lot of power and doesn't make it necessarily a crime to harm or kill, or murder, or rape, etc. When that's the case, you can attract a lot of people into that group and then control them. So we don't know, you know, what's above all of it, but we do know that organizations like Chabad, et cetera, are very vocal about the hatred of the so-called Goyim, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish practitioner of whatever in the world. And they have a lot of their rabbis talking about the solution is Noahide laws, which are laws they invented, using the word Noah in there somehow. I don't know why. And they invented these laws that we are to follow as non-Jewish people, as Gentile. And if we can't follow these laws, then we are to be exterminated with our heads cut off. Now, that was on – I found that very bit of instruction on Chabad Lubavitch, his website, which was Chabad.org, a couple years ago. But because it got a lot of attention at that time, they took that down. But that's easy to look up. What is the punishment for violating the Noahide laws according to the rabbis? That's a great search phrase right there. Would be decapitation. So, you know, why isn't it the average American aware that the group of people that is basically in charge of our media, in charge of our the U.S. Congress, they're in charge of the medical system, the universities, entirely in charge of the banking systems. Why is it that that these people also subscribe to a religion that, you know, says that we're less than human beings, that we're animals, that we're goyim, that we're cattle. And I think that we lost our way somewhere. We just, you know, maybe it was fluoride in the water. You know, maybe that Dr. Strangelove was correct, Jim. It caused people not to be able to critically think at all. But
we have a caller who's been very patiently standing by. Paul, join the conversation.
hello, hello. I'll have a large pepper.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Dipping stick. Is this Pizza Hut?
You got it. You got it.
You know, thanks for the positive update. Lifting message today, Jack. It's really has buoyed my spirits.
I was thinking of you when I did it. That's why. I was going to talk about happy things like. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it's the Presbyterians, right? That's who it is.
Yeah,
I think you guys got it all wrong. and we'll be fine. I think you're unnecessarily concerned. Everything's looking good. I think we got nothing to worry. I don't know what to say. I mean, I listened to the better part, not the, quite the whole first hour, but the better part of it, and then of course all the discussion so far this hour. And what to do, right? I was going to joke and say, okay, Jack, I just have a question for you. Who do we shoot? But of course,
right?
Silly. Too many to list.
Absolutely, so. Paul. And shooting somebody by yourself is probably not a good idea.
Of course, taken out of the game.
I think we have to wait till there's some sort of resistance self-formed, and that's the only thing I can see happening is a self-forming resistance, and then we all let's throw in
with them. only a bit of hesitation. I do actually this. I'm going to be kidding around here anymore. I actually do think that there is cause for, a little bit of optimism perhaps. And I just don't see it going as planned or as smoothly as they. And again, I wasn't there in Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. We can read accounts of it, right? So we don't know how disjointed or asymmetric it was. But I think it's a little different bowl of fish over here. I know that the Russians didn't have the guns that we do now. I mean, there's more guns of all different types of guns everywhere throughout the population, and especially in the hood, right? Now, I know that there's something to be said about if these people are hungry, but I just don't think they have the necessary manpower. This country is far too large now, compared to what the population of Russia was back then at the turn of the century, and it's definitely the the diversity of it is actually probably not going to help them. There's going to be a lot of competing factions here. And believe me, there's a lot of people that are going to be aware of this and opposed to it. Most of the non-whites I know, including several blacks, they're all in tune with this. They know. They tune in. They listen to, various internet shows, and they're all pretty awake. I know a couple of Asians, a couple of Hispanics, and they're almost always – and not so much because I tell them or educate them. Some I've informed, others I've not. But this is becoming generally more widely known because of the internet and because of Twitter and so forth. So I have a hard time seeing them pulling it off successfully. Though long term, they may come a lot closer than I think. And in the short to medium term, they're going to cause a lot of discomfort and a lot of damage. I don't have any doubt about that. But I just don't think they have enough, cooperative police or cooperative UN troops or cooperative US troops to really do this. That's my take, and you can tell me what you think, Jack.
Well, I've thought of that before. I've said it before, and I think that they've thought of it as well. And obviously, we're not in the same boat as Australia or New Zealand. Or Canada and the UK, et cetera, because we have guns. I mean, they're what they're doing to the Australian people, is just outrageous. Now they still have weapons, and nobody's bringing them out, but they're cleaning the last of them out now with some staged event they had a few weeks ago in a schoolyard. I think that that's part of it. Americans have guns, and it's going to take them a while to give them up, but I think you mentioned the correct words. It'll be hunger. Hunger brings people out of their desire to fight. And I'm thinking that those blacks are on our side in this situation, and I welcome their support. I think there's a lot of to be said for making sure all the ethnicities in this country understand that this enemy is not going to protect them. They're going to die as fast as ever after they get rid of the primary group, which will be the white people, and that it's not going to be paradise. And I think you're right. I think these people understand that. So, but on the other hand, the military running around, the more we see of them, and the idea that they have a war ready to go, made ready to go hot, that gives them some sort of leverage in that situation. So I want you to be right, Paul. And, I think it, I love the idea. I hope it happens, and I'm 100% behind it.
Well, I'm
can
always
I comment?
Slightly... Yeah, sure. Sure, Brian.
Yeah, Paul, you're spot on, especially when it comes to the guns, because I live in the hood in Kansas City, and with the Chiefs winning the last Super Bowl, I'm reminded how many guns are in my neighborhood here in the hood. You couldn't believe the number of AK-47s and everything going off outside my house. And, you know, most people would be alarmed by that. But when I hear them going off, especially the guy with the AK-47 under the bridge next to me that lets loose, it just warms my heart. So you're absolutely spot on. And I talk to my black neighbors and they know what's going on. They're well aware. And I have an AK with a lot of ammo, so I'm ready to.
That's great weapon. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, just an addendum to that. So, yeah, I told somebody this the other day, and it's the absolute fact that, you know, there's a black friend of mine, and, you know, he's just, he's run-of-the-mill. In other words, he's not, like, the brightest bulb and all that, but he's, you know, he's a good guy, friend of mine. And a couple of years ago, he actually said to me these words. He said, "So when are you white people going to get together and take care of business, you know, like that?" I mean, you know,
yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and I'm assuming that kind of thought runs through some others' minds as well. But I mean, you know, this was unprompted, you know, because we've talked about, you know, all kinds of topics. You know, we first got acquainted over 10 years ago because of law. He had questions about law, traffic tickets, taxes, that kind of stuff. So we got to know each other, and he pumped me for all the information that he could, and he's actually become quite educated in these things because I spurred him on. But yeah, we've talked about the various conspiracies and all that, but still, you know, so here's a fun question, Jack. I was going to end this, is, by the way, this is not just for you, Jim, but I actually did think of this question because I've been hearing a lot more of Trump's speeches at some of these rallies and so forth. And I am extremely, extremely cautiously not even really optimistic, but you know, some of the things he's saying, it's like, okay, is he just lying through his teeth with everything he says, or does he actually mean any of it? So I'm going to ask you this question, Jack, just based upon whatever we've talked about in the past, right? On a percentage scale from 0 to 100%, if Trump gets in and wins the election, right, what do you think the odds are that he will slow this thing down or interfere with it in any significant way? 0, 10, 50, where would you put it?
Well, because that's a sort of a different way to look at it. I think Trump will continue it. I think that it'll appear to slow down as it changes course in, you know, maybe it goes a little bit perpendicular to the course and then writes its course and goes in the same straight line as the last one. I would have to say lower than 50 on this. I've studied Trump quite extensively, and I know you have too, and his background and the things that we saw him do against his country and his administration. And he's known as the father of the vaccine, and he never stops talking about the vax, which is a biological weapon from an organism that doesn't exist. And these people know that. And so the entire thing's a fantasy, and it's designed to kill the people, long-term, short-term, disabilities. It's another problem with your scenario, Paul, is if we don't start doing something with what we got here, by the time 2025 comes, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be around anymore. And so I think that Trump's job is to play some religious significance in the Christian Zionist mythology, and he will be basically a Judas goat that leads the right into some terrible form of extreme right thinking that will be worse than the Catholic Inquisition. And I don't know that he's going to get over these hurdles. I mean, his recent the stuff that they found in those boxes that he took from the White House, you know, those are basically really highly classified documents that given to the wrong people would, you know, represent a critical leak of information about our our military type of capabilities, et cetera. So these are really crimes that I don't care what president did it. You know, even if Thomas Jefferson did it, we would have to say, listen, you knew better than that. So I don't know what the game's going to be. I don't know if Trump will even get into this, but I'm not a Trump supporter and I can never go that way. It's just my intuition says, wow, he's got all the right moves when it comes to aligning with the ideology of Zionism and from the perspective of Chabad Lubavitch. So yeah. That's my point of view.
Yeah. I know it's hard. I mean, the only thing that I would hold out is that he's got a little bit of a split personality that maybe there's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that old saying about both things can be true. You know, it's a hard one to swallow, but, you know, it's like, I actually kind of do think that there's some parts of him that sort of believes in the stuff that he's saying, but at the other, on the other side of that is like, he can't help himself but go along with these people. And, you know, to be honest, I just don't really know. Yeah. I was once convinced you couldn't trust him anywhere. You know, you can't, as far as you could throw him, you know, but again, he's just so damn good at being the sincere pitch man that he is, you know, and that's what's alluring a lot of people. And it's kind of frustrating to me, but I'm on record. I'll leave it at this. And I'm on record as saying that I 100% believe he faked getting the vaccine like most other politicians. So if he faked getting the vaccine, what does that say for who he is as a man, as a human being? And, you know, that's where I'm at.
Bruce, you want to come back, Bruce? And of course, everyone knows position on Trump and why I think that all the attacks on him contradict exactly what you guys are saying here. So I'm just not going to reiterate what I've said so many times in the past. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll touch on Trump just a little bit. You know, he can be described as the ultimate boomer. You know, apologies to all boomers on the show, which may include myself. I'm at the tail end of that. But he grew up on John Wayne and all this. And so, you know, he believed that all the generals were like Patton and they're loyal. And he found out different later. But that's what he thought. And so, you know, he get his handlers coming to him. Look, we got a Chinese virus coming and we got a plan to have a warp speed and he can sign off on it and save everybody's life. Of course he's going to sign off on it. I don't think he's smart enough. I don't believe he has the intelligence to come up with a devious plan like that. It was put in front of his face. And so sometimes I don't trust his judgment, especially when it comes to like, okay, let's go ahead and kill this Iranian general because he's killing our troops, which, you know, now we know maybe that wasn't really entirely true. He was fighting Al-Qaeda. But so that's a sign to see a Trump now. I would like to see him get in just to throw a wrench in the works and nothing else. I mean, everybody who hates him, I hate. All right. And so if he slows things down just by his being there, I doubt that he'll get clean out the swamp and put him in jail like he's bragging. I mean, he'll be dead before he does that. And I don't think he'll even be able to appoint people to positions required to achieve that aim. So that's where I stand with Trump. I'm going to go ahead and call you back on Friday because I want to touch on 9/11. Jim, I like that talk you had with Richard Gage.
You might want to squeeze it in today, given I'm going in for heart surgery tomorrow and I'm going to be out of action for probably a week or more. Go ahead. Give us about Gage. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, that was a very good talk. And it's just real good to see you or to hear you and Gage talk. And then you appeared on Barrett's show and that was terrific, you know, and it's common places to hear that, well, the 9/11 movement didn't succeed. Well, it didn't, and it did. Because if I go on different platforms and we start talking about 9/11, it seems like most people around the world don't believe the official story. And so just having that, I think that's an achievement in itself, you know?
Yeah, good.
But Richard Gage was claiming skepticism, and I believe well-founded, that the nukes went up and were detonated in the basement, like Olsen claimed, and went all the way up without blowing out the windows and then hit, you know, 3/4 of the way up and it came back down. That's just the physics of it just doesn't jive. Now,
well, I'm glad to say he was open to having a further discussion about the demolition of the Twin Towers, which we're going to undertake. Did you want to add a little more here?
Yeah, just a little more. Maybe 10 years ago when I was researching 9/11, I came upon this website. It was a .nl, the Netherlands website, and the author of it, it wasn't very big, it was maybe a couple of pages, but he had a background in nuclear physics, and he produced a video which was on YouTube, and I saved a copy, then it was deleted off of YouTube, so maybe I have it somewhere, I'll need to find it.
Okay.
But he put forth the thesis that it was a neutron bomb, a very small one that was at the very top of the tower, and it was dropped, so it would free fall by gravity, then detonated. It would proceed down the elevator shaft that were, you know, under renovation. This is all prepared ahead of time. And as it fell down, it destroyed the building, went straight into the basement where it created a nuclear foundry. I think that's plausible explanation.
Well, we're going to return to this issue, presuming, I'm in the position to do it in the future with Joe and with Gage and with a fellow named Costa that he wants to join the conversation. We got Frank in New York here. Frank, join, please.
I gotta go. I'll listen.
Bye-bye. Hey, Jim, you do a lot of great work, brother. And I'll tell you, we got to get to the bottom of 9/11. I think we know who the culprits are, but unfortunately, it's tough to pin them down. A while ago, you were talking about Mr. Trump, okay? Now, I was a big supporter of Trump when he came on the scene, okay? And I know you like Trump, Jim. Let me put it that way. I know your guest isn't a big fan of his. And I know what you're saying, that Trump is better than Biden. But let's get real. Trump, the first time around, here's some broken promises, campaign promises. He was going to build a wall. Didn't get it done. He's going to jail Hillary. Didn't get it done. They were the two big ones. People were chanting and cheering and everything. He was going to get us out of the Middle East. He didn't get us out. Biden did terribly, but he got us out. Okay, he didn't get along with Russia. You know, he met with Putin. He said, oh, we had a great meeting. He came out. And then the next day his handlers had him. He was out saying, well, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, it was ludicrous. He was going to overturn Obamacare. And people go, well, yeah, but John McCain put his thumb down. Remember that? Yeah, well, John McCain went to hell in September that year, okay? He had two more months where he could have brought John Kyle on. John Kyle was appointed, you know, as the senator out there in Arizona, and they could have overturned Obamacare. But he didn't press that. He was going to start a vaccine commission after talking to Robert Kennedy Jr. Then Bill Gates got his ear, and I don't know what took place, but no vaccine commission. He was going to start a voter integrity commission. And I bet he wished he did, you know, because they stole that election in 2020. They're going to steal one in 2024, too, I believe. He was going to work on the infrastructure. He didn't get that done. He was going to reinstate Glass-Steagall. That didn't happen. He was going to defund sanctuary cities. That didn't take place.
Sir, this is fascinating. And, of course, I guess everyone on the call has a lower opinion of Trump than do I. But let me ask you, who could do more for America, Frank? Who do you think would be a better candidate than Trump?
Well, I'm just showing you what he said. You know, he's talking great right now.
Listen. Okay. Let's assume every point you've made is valid and true. Who can do more for America, in your opinion?
Truthfully, Jim, I would like, the Democrats said, oh, we don't want an old white man before they got Biden, okay? Now, they had Tulsi Gabbard, okay? She's a female. She's a minority. She's a veteran. She's attractive. And I like her ideas, okay? She was on with Tucker quite a bit. I think she filled in for Tucker once or twice. So, you know what I mean? I know it's not realistic, but if I had somebody to run the country, well, besides me, you, and Paul, okay, I would have Tulsi Gabbard run the country.
Well, I've been predicting Trump's going to run with Tulsi, Frank. I've been predicting that for a long time. Paul, go ahead.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to take the hard line again, which I think Jack will appreciate. So I was taking, a softer tone, and part of me wants to believe it. But you remember that analogy that I did sort of jokingly, but I thought it was accurate, about Trump is like your wife, right? Where, she sleeps with everybody. She drains your bank account. and you say, oh, but she's a hell of a cook. You're talking about, I mean, Frank did an absolutely phenomenal job. One of the best things I've heard on call-in talk radio in the last year or two, Frank, of just going down the list of all the things, and there's more, of course, and I've seen as well. So, but yeah, here's the point. Then you come, but you come back with this thing, and I'm going to call it tepid, but it's just, you know, I don't fault you for it, but you say, well, but he could do, who else could do this? And here's the thing. It's like, yeah, your wife could be a good wife and stop screwing the mailman and stop draining your checking account, but what evidence What evidence do we have that she's going to discontinue this behavior?
No, Paul. My thing is very different. I just want to know, who do you think would do the job? You know, if you don't like Trump, who do you like? That's all I'm asking. Meanwhile, Johnny Seals is here.
Johnny Seals is here.
Johnny, join the conversation.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, I would say we need to focus on everybody that's running for president and that is not being promoted by mainstream. Those are probably going to be the candidates, like the 1,000 people that are going to run, but they're only going to shovel us two. We need to ignore the two and start paying attention to the 1,000.
Okay.
And I'll be praying for your heart surgery, sir.
Oh, thanks.
I wish you luck.
Thanks, Johnny. I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. I got a great surgeon. I feel good about it, but boy, I do welcome all your thoughts and prayers. I'm grateful for each and every one of them. Jack, go ahead. Give us some more of your thoughts, Jack.
Hey, you guys have a good day.
Thank you for everybody's excellent conversation. But I have to go with Paul on the Trump thing. I hear lots of people, like the other caller, rationalize that Trump's not smart enough to figure out that he was being duped. I mean, that one's so tiring. Trump's not by any means a dumb person, and he's been brought up in a system that understands from the inside how it works and what sort of media false flags rule the world and control the world continuously. We can't say that Trump doesn't know anything about vaccines and vaccinations, and so he went along with it. And in fact, if he went along with it just to support the administration at the pain of being killed, he's out of the office now, and he still promotes it as though it's life-saving. And so that alone is unforgivable. We're talking about millions of people that are been harmed, and maybe as many as millions and millions that are going to die from this. So I can't think of a bigger way to mass murder people.
So Jack, you said he's still support. I have not heard this recently. Are you talking about within the last few months, the last few weeks? You're saying he still supports the vaccine?
Well, the last time that I saw him discuss it, which I can't remember whether it's 3 or 4 months ago, 5, 6 months ago, but it's been long after he was out of office, that he was still calling Operation Warp Speed his greatest contribution. And I think that if you ask him today, he'll say the same thing.
I haven't heard it recently, but yeah, I heard all that stuff was very troubling, and Jim knows this well when he talked about what a success it was, and like he was the only guy that could have pulled it off, you know. It's like, oh my god.
Yep, right.
But yep. I haven't heard it recently, so that's why I asked, because you said he's still, and I didn't know if you had any time frame. So, okay.
Well, he said about Operation Warp Speed.
We have another caller here. Ken, join the conversation.
Yeah, I think Trump is the best thing that ever hit politics. Even though he favors the vaccine, I would never take it. I don't think he took it. He's the guy that is he wants to run. He's 77 years old. He's giving up his good life, is what he says. All the shorts on YouTube about him are great. So if he's going to lose, he's going to lose if these truthers don't get on board with his side. I mean, I'm stunned by how many people don't like him.
Okay, well,
this is a perfect illustration,
though, of this dichotomy, right? Ken just said, I don't think he took it, but yet he has promoted it. So what kind of man would not take it because he doesn't believe in it, but promote it to others?
We can find all kinds of things to argue, quibble about. My point is different.
Yep. This is the hill.
It's not. It's the public supports Trump. The polling is overwhelming. It's the voting machine. It's the rigging of the election. I'm glad to have Ken here as a second voice on my side. But, of course, I respect every damn argument every one of the rest of you has made, every one of you, including Paul.
Okay, but Jack is the smartest guy on the panel besides Jim and me, right? And Jack knows that when you talk about the public, right, Jim, the public supports Trump. I know Jack will agree with this, but the public, they're morons, okay? The public is
vote. They make it. They're entitled to a vote as much as you or I. I mean, it's not a function of.
And they always vote for the wrong thing. Always.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Look at the check.
The
checklist. The vaccine. The vaccine is going to be the new checklist. So.
Right. Yep.
You know, Trump did not mandate the vaccine. So, and there's a lot of people
that took it. Okay, let me give you a so what. I did this to Jim before. I'm going to do it to you, Ken. And it's this, in my opinion, is a bridge that I just cannot cross, right? If Trump faked the vaccine, would you still trust him? I don't know that he did, but I believe that he did. So if you.
Well, I know I'm not going to take it because, like you, we watch Fitch, we see this stuff.
Are you listening to me? If you found out that Trump faked getting the vaccine, which means he's a phony, then would you still trust him?
That he was a hypocrite in that instance. But the others, there's so much more massive hypocrites in every instance. I don't know that it's a quantitative argument, Paul. Qualitatively, it's a good argument, but quantitatively, it's a weak argument. Jack.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me get back to you because we don't have a lot of time remaining. Okay. I want you to have more thoughts, my friend, especially given the interruptions earlier. Jack.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate everybody's comments. And I think that I agree with Paul. I don't think I can't even imagine that anyone would claim that they would vote for Trump again because he's going to follow up on any of his promises. All of his campaign promises, he didn't do anything about. Some of them, he ignored that he even said them. And I think that's just a classic behavior of someone who's put into office for a specific purpose. I think what he did to the people after the January 20 roundup and the people that are still in jail and not a peep out of him about it's time to release these people is a good way to judge his character. But for the person who said that we could go to the candidates who aren't going to make the two-party cut or whatever, but the problem is you can't elect those people. I mean, you just cannot elect them. And so there's no way to ever get them in. Look at Ron Paul, how he was, even in his first couple elections, those caucuses that they used voting machines and everything against him. There was no hope. And if someone tried to claim that it was voting fraud, they would do what they did to Carrie Lake and say that, of course there was no voting fraud. And this woman who can't even speak in the background, she did get all those votes. And I mean, there's no way out of that mess. We either start over with the revolution, or we go down this trail and just keep debating this stuff endlessly, rationalizing why Trump could have done this or might have been thinking that, or he was just too dumb to realize this and that and the other. And I just can't do it anymore. Can't take it.
And here I think Trump is the guy to lead the revolution, but that's obviously not the consensus here. Paul, you got to have another bite at the apple. Go ahead.
Okay, so the only thing I would say is this. If you were to tell me, and I will be honest with you here, if I can believe it's true, because there's multiple aspects to all of our personalities. All of us are a spectrum, okay? So we're capable of really great behavior and sometimes not so good behavior. I will be open to believing that Trump could have been a phony on the vaccine, right? But be good on some of these other things because he sincerely believes it. But it's a very difficult pill to swallow because it's something to me as integrity, as honor, right, as forthrightness. So you could never get Jim Fetzer or Jack Mullen to fake getting a vaccine and then promote it to other people. So it's a very big pill for me to swallow, but I cross my fingers.
Paul, you make a lot of good arguments. Is Brian or Bruce still here? Would you like to squeeze in another, and then I'll get Ken. Brian, Bruce?
You talking to me, Jim? Frank?
Oh, hey, and there you are, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay, look at it. I think Trump got compromised 2 days after he won that election in 2016. He met with Barack Obama, one-on-one meeting. They generally last 10 minutes. He was in there for an hour and a half. He came out. He looked like he was fearful. Okay, there's a body reader. She said that he became fearful for something. And you could see it in his eyes. If you go to dailymail.com, you know, Google Trump Obama one-on-one meeting, you could see pictures of him. Jeff Rentsch had a tape of him, okay, a full tape. I can't find that any longer, you know, and I despise, you know, Rentsch for, you know, you and him, Jim. But whatever, you know, I think Trump got compromised then. He came out right away. He started changing things. He brings in the swamp. He brings in Bill Barr. Alex Jones is saying, well, you got to bring in the swamp to fight the swamp. Baloney. If I went down to Washington, I know who I'd bring in, and it wouldn't be those people. You know, we can see what Bill Barr did. He had on his laptop, and he sat on it. You know, he could have won that election in 2020, and I think he did win it, actually. But, you know, I think they stole that. They stole the stuff in 22, and I think they're going to steal it in 24. But I believe he was compromised. If you go in and look at them and look at his face after he comes out at that meeting, you'll see it.
Not the first time I've heard that argument, and I think it's a good one. I think you're on to something, Frank, something real.
Jim, I think the CIA runs the show through Obama, and they're controlling the White House right now. You know, they created Obama. I don't mean to be hot. I'll get off. Sorry.
Listen, Mitchell told me about less than 20 seconds. Wait, just say, everyone, I really am glad you're all here. Your audience, love the callers. I think you're wonderful. And I look forward to rejoining you in a week or 10 days. Let's see how it all plays out. But I just want to say, support Revolution Radio. Mitchell, be...
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global...